Matthew 16. I have a text, so let me find the text. I want to talk about questions, asking questions, and Matthew 16. Whew, interesting. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Interesting. That's a question. Jesus is asking a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He already mentions his identity. So Jesus is the one who will tell you who Jesus is. Hallelujah. You know, during the believers meeting, we said, the world cannot tell you who Jesus is. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the one who will tell you who Jesus is. Who do I say that? Who do the world say that I, the Son of Man? Of course, the Son of Man is a codified language for the words of the prophet, the virgin birth, the Messiah King, who is going to rescue not just Israel, but Israel as a pointer to the world. Is it making sense? And so you see all of that as the Son of Man. That's Genesis 3, right? Come on. The seed of the woman. That's the Son of Man. Uh-huh. So the Son of Man, he tells you, I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Just like he was saying in Matthew 5:17, I'm not come to destroy the law and the prophet, but to fulfill them. Don't forget, to fulfill, we mean to what? To take the role of what has happened ahead. It's not like when he says he has come to fulfill it. It was him they were talking about. No. Five people can fulfill one person. Hallelujah. Five people can fulfill one prophecy. It is not copy and paste. You don't see fulfillment in Bible terms. I'm saying this because we're going to go into dialogue with prophets. And I'm teaching this particular teaching in view of that. Hallelujah. I trust God that we can. Yeah, we'll go very well. There's no end to theology, and there's no end to knowing God's word. Like the psalmist will say, they are new every day. Every morning, it's new. His word is fresh again. Hallelujah. God will ask Job, have you walked in the springs of the sea? And Job will be wondering, is there a spring in the sea? Amen. So I'm asking you too, have you walked in the springs of the sea? And Job will say, eh? You know, after that, Job 38. He said, now my eyes see you in Job 42. You know, when you think you know God, then he shows up to you again. Deeper depths. Hallelujah. And I trust God that we walk with him. Our walk with him is better. All right, so he says, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus tells you who Jesus is. Again, if you listen very well, you will always pick his answers from his questions. And they said, some say you are John the Baptist. So, you see? Some say you are John the Baptist. He just said, the Son of Man. Why can't you just say, you are the Son of Man? Or you are the Son of God? So they say, some say you are John the Baptist. They've been wanting to say that all along. They've been wanting to quickly, you know. So others say you are Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, some other prophets. So they begin to say, you're this, you're that. And it's not uncommon in the world that you find people assume. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. I said this way, sometimes ignorance is bliss. Ignorance sometimes is a blessing in disguise. Just don't be ignorant of electric pools. Hallelujah. And electric waters. Have you heard of electric waters before? I don't know if you've seen a pool or river or lake, artificial lake, where it's electric. You don't touch the water. I've been to one. I can't remember when. I think it was an excursion of some sort. It said if you touch the water, they might be lying to us. Amen. They just don't want us to drown. I've drowned before. Nigerian breweries. Amen. I've drowned 3 times. I know the springs in the sea. 3 times. And every time I just say, it's not possible again. I've mastered it the last time. So when someone said we should go on one trip, just, you know, friendship, just go out to swim. I said, why is this swim? Sean Rice, you mean? Why is this swim you mentioned? No, something else. Why can't we go out to eat? Let's just, even if it's video chocolate, let's just sit down and be drinking it. Hallelujah. All right. What led me to this? Ignorance sometimes is bliss. At least ignorance knows that it does not know. I've told you before, hunger is better than poison. I will say it every time. Hunger is better than to be poisoned. You take an hungry man every time. Hallelujah. And so, Assumptions. Some say you are John. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are Elijah. And so it tells you that the world will always tell you something. It's left to you to not allow the world to define who Jesus is to you. They will always tell you, he's John, he's this, he's that. The world always has something to say. And oftentimes they're not, the world is wrong. In fact, even in matters that are not worldly, as it were, and that are not spiritual, I mean, in matters that are not church, that are not scriptural, the world, the media can be wrong. I was looking at a former governor, two-time governor in Nigeria, who was a very strong part of why we had the former president, President Muhammadu Buhari, and the now president, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, Ashwaji. And this man that was part of them is granting an interview saying they are bad people. I'm wondering, what exactly has the media turned to? So the journalist asked, he said, you are the ones that said we should vote for this other person. He said, yes. And this new one too, you are the one that said we should vote. He said, yeah, yes. So why should we trust you for the next one? He said, don't trust me. You know, when you have been caught in the, when you have been put in a corner. You know, Ozai was something that you don't have your back against the wall. Now your back, not against the wall. He said, don't trust me. I said, huh? You see, you put yourself in the net. And that's what the media looks like. They give you a ministerial position. They eventually took it from you and then you become bitter. I'm not a politician. I'm just saying, even concerning matters that are not church, you can't trust the media. I remember the way the media painted COVID that time, the vaccine and everything. Someone even called me and said, is this 666? I said, no, it's 999. You're kidding. It's 999. He said, He said, they will give you one in your hand. That there's one now that they would not be scanning. Where are you hearing all these things from? And so it's part of how you want to reduce the population of the world. You want to reduce population. You're not seeing the wars around the world. Population is not vaccine they will give now. Just throw one thing. You know, Nigeria, we don't have any cover. No iron dome. No wood dome. His mouth, sweeter dome. If they catch us. But we have spiritual dome. Amen. You know? Just have one of the highest number of pastors in the world. Whether real pastors or God called pastor, the one that called God. But Nigeria is a religious nation. Spiritual doom day. Amen. God cannot watch Pastor Adeboye. They should throw bomb. And God cannot watch me. They should throw bomb. I'm trying my best. Amen. Just saying. You can't rely on the assumptions from the media to tell you who Jesus is. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He already tells you who he is. He is the fulfillment of the law, the Son of Man. The Genesis 3:15 man, the promise of God for mankind. He is the Son of Man. And he tells you, what does the world say, call me? Say, you're John. He said, you're the one that went to wear a costume in the River Jordan. He said, me. Did they not see me with John? They say it's clone. They say it's AI. You know, the world will always be stupid in telling you who Jesus is. So you must, your resolutions, your convictions must be firm on God's word. I know who he is. And I know who I am. Amen. Very soon I'm going to teach you who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. You rarely hear me teach the topic like that, like as the topic. We just teach, of course, all around it. But we're going to teach it again. Like we taught it in church before. I think we taught it for about 3 months. I don't know. I forgot the title, but it's not who you are in Christ. Identity something. But once it's who you are in Christ, it's going to span months for us, probably into half a year. Hallelujah. We're going to explore that. I say, me, is it me? Who I am? It's half a month. You have to know who you are. Amen. So that you don't answer the name you're not. Hallelujah. Alright, some say you are John, you're Elijah, some other prophet. Then he answered them. What did he say? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That means part of our growing in Christ will involve questions. We involve us answering questions, and it also will involve us asking questions. Some people don't like answering questions. Study group. Why are we answering questions? Is this a school? I will do tests in school. I will still come to church. They'll still be giving me tests. Jesus answered, who do men say that I, who do you say? Write it in 3 pages. 60 leaves. Fill a 60 leaves book. Who do you say that I am? How many believers can write? I education. Notebook. And then you write. The question is, Jesus asking you, who do you say that I am? Oh yeah, you. Who do you understand him to be? So questions are vital. In our growth, we must learn to ask questions. Sometimes we tend to think that questions and uncertainties are the opposite to faith. But that's not true. Questions, asking questions is not the opposite to having faith. In fact, I beg to differ that it's the other way around. The opposite of faith is certainty. If I am certain about it, I don't need to have faith. If I've got proof in measurable terms, in measurable units, and it's so logical, it's so certain, why do I need faith? You see? Doubt does not mean you're not in faith. I told you when we're in leaving school, remember? Eh? I'm not saying that you live in perpetual doubt. You know, Pastor, as we said, that's part of faith. Ah, mom, doubt gone. No. I mean, the fact that you're doubting means you are actually, it's a faith needed situation. You know, if you've got 100 million naira in your account, you don't need faith to buy a bag of rice. You say you're living in Zimbabwe. Apologies if you are hearing this from Zimbabwe anytime, the world, anytime. I'm sorry. You don't need faith to buy a bag of rice. You've got 100 million. Amen. You know, some of you are students, you know what I'm talking about. You check your OPAY before you order anything. You refresh. In case it's deceiving you. In case it's the former account balance that is there. You should not go and order beyond. You know, I wonder what would turn to your beating. So you refresh. I know some students are, you know, they are ballers. They are ballers. But when I was there, you refresh these things. Amen. Even go to the ATM, the machine itself. Check. When last have I gone to a machine? It's probably it's very, very well over 4 or 5 years now. You go, you confirm. Then you now go to cafeteria, 2001. I say, give me beans. 30 naira. Oga, if you put 40 naira, it's on you. I calculate everything. Why? Because I don't want to end up using faith for him. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? But I've also gone to that cafeteria in faith before. I mean, nothing to it. I don't, those of you are new, like, you know, 2001, yeah? And you can try this too. So there's nothing like don't try this. No. I did not have cash, and I went there, and I said, I'm going to eat. I even took Fanta. So the beating would have been serious. I took Fanta. I collected like 3-4 meats. One more things could have done. Because I was even telling them, why that place is dirty now? I had nothing. So when it was time to pay, I said, God, you saw me when I was coming down from Jordan Day. I don't have any word with to turn back. And I told God in the room before I left the room. Faith laughed of his own way, laughed of something. So I said, okay. So I was saving. So I collected the Fanta because there was no provision. So I said, give me Fanta. I was expecting someone to pay. So a friend just came around. There was no friend in year one, so someone I knew just came around and just said, MOG. I said, big man, how you doing? You came to buy food here? I said, you want to pay for me? I said, you want to pay for me? He said, I'm gonna pay for you. I said, I don't go mind to. As I was saying, I don't go mind, tongues in my ear. So he said, no problem. They just sent me money from home. The kind of breath. Do you know what it means that they've sold the food? It's to pay. What do you want to say? So, but if I had 100,000 naira in my account, I will not involve God. Amen. You get what I'm saying? So certainty is the opposite of faith, really. So don't be sorry for yourself when there are questions in your heart. Don't feel, has the devil gotten to me? Am I hearing the voice? No. Without questions, you're not going to grow. So faith is not about proof. If there's proof, I don't need faith. Faith is not in view. So, questions can be unsettling, but questions need to happen. It's vital for spiritual growth. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art Simon. And upon this rock, so we said, in the revelation of Jesus, you find the revelation of you. You are the Son of God. And he says, you are Peter. On this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the more we know him, the more we see ourselves. Our identity is in him. I'm in him. Amen. Sometimes in healing, you find questions. Jesus will see a man who is blind and say, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, what kind of question is that? In this day and age, they will say, strolling. Are you gaslighting me? Are you whining me? Now, these terms might be obsolete in next decade. But I'm saying, in this day, you know, they ask questions like, are you trying to mock me? Because how do you see a man begging for alms, blind, can't see a thing, and you say, what do you want me to do for you? But without that question, that man doesn't get healed. There's a woman like that, I've shared the story before, who got sick. The husband wanted to, you know, was taking it from church to church, and discovered that she was not getting healed. So, I think it was Bregan. And asked, what do you want? And she said, I want my husband to always be around. She says, ever since I got sick, he has not been going to work. He has been having my time. So I don't want to be healed. I want to remain sick so that my husband can always be around. What kind of desire is that one? Imagine writing it down in retreat. What's your desire? To be ever sick. To be sick forevermore. That's what she wanted. So even in matters of healing, questions are important. Who do you say that I am? So don't let the presence of questions baffle you. The fact that you have questions in your heart, it is normal. In fact, my teacher would say in secondary school, he's from Ghana, my father mathematics teacher. I've forgotten his name. Sorry, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. He'll say, if you don't ask questions, it's either you understand everything or you don't understand anything. If you don't ask questions. So you say, how does he talk? Yeah, he says things like kapati. Isaiah is not here. Isaiah is in the Ibadan church. Did you meet him? Elekuru. Yeah, that's his name. Mr. Elekuru. Nobody went to my, so Isaiah, okay. Did he not pick Bray Wine? He applied for the school, they did not pick him. Am I lying? They picked you. You want to lie that they picked you, but you wanted to go to another school. I said you wanted to lie that, he said yes. Yeah. So Elekuru said, he said, that's a cup of tea. 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 If you don't ask questions, it means you understand everything. Or you don't understand anything. I belong to the latter. Sometimes in class, I just see, you know that Three Idiots movie? Where everything is flying. Literally, that was me. Yeah. I'll pass the exam. Don't worry about that one. How it happens, myself, I cannot explain sometimes, but I'll pass the exam. Give me the questions, I'll pass. But it's flying in class. Well, 2 weeks to exam, something resurrects. I cannot say, from primary school till university, even postgraduate trainings. Just tell me that the exam, don't tell me that the exam, we are writing exam on that morning, no. Just 2 weeks, we'll pass it. Amen. So he will say, if you don't ask questions, it's either you understand everything, and there is no one here who understands everything, including myself. You see, foolishness begins when you think you have closed the door on knowledge. When you think you know everything, you should be going for the Guinness Book of Record of the most foolish man on earth. Questions are part of growth. The opposite of faith is not uncertainty. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is not questions. The opposite of faith really will even be to be certain. I just explained to you. Amen. I'm not saying you live your life in perpetual doubt, but I'm saying when you have questions, you ask questions. Of course, there are mischievous folks who ask questions, you know, to tempt. Remember in Matthew 19, they asked a question to tempt Jesus. Can we put away our wives? I've heard everything you say, but can we put away our wives? Jesus said, nah, I see through you because of the hardness of your heart. Moses was talking to you. You are fulfilling the audience of Moses. Amen. Remember Jesus also said some people are fulfilling the audience of Isaiah. Then in seeing, they see it not. In hearing, they hear not. Their heart has waxed. They were fulfilling the audience of Isaiah. Isaiah said it to his own audience and just said, these guys too. Should we pay taxes? You know, very, very funny questions. Someone has asked me before. He said, there is no cigarette in the Bible. And there is no weed or marijuana or cocaine that is not in the Bible. That can a Christian smoke? And I can a Christian, you understand? I say, what's it? He said, nah, Pastor, you understand now. Pastor, I understand. Okay, well, that's it. How do you expect Pastor to understand? I don't understand. I will never understand. Say, can a Christian just, you understand? Like, not really be addicted, just being to drugs. I said, like a pharmacist. That's a question. It's a mischievous question. Both the asker and the askee and the demons around and the angels around, everybody knows that you are asking a stupid question. So I asked him, I said, what we are going to do is that on Sunday, we are going to buy wheat. We are going to all of us, yeah. Now, is this not true? Some few days ago. But it's over 5 years now that the person asked. Obviously it's not here, but he's love Agbo. I said, we are all going to just do the right thing. Say, that cannot be something we do in church. Oh. So the answer is with you. Amen. So after that, I prescribed to him right or wrong. We taught right or wrong in 2017. Right or wrong. What is right? What is wrong? We taught it. The teaching you should go and listen to is the classic. Amen. We'll reteach it again. We just call it light or darkness. Just give it on that topic. So there are people that ask me Jesus questions. Should we pay taxes? Why won't you? And Jesus said, whose image is on the coin? It's Caesar. Oh, it's not the Holy Ghost. Says Caesar. Then give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give God what belongs to God. The question is, what belongs to God? So we said, there's no growth without questions. Oh, I left you with a question. Yeah, that's practical sermon now. So you write the question down, what belongs to God? So questions helps us to identify knowledge gaps. Sounds like I'm doing my doctorate again. It helps us identify knowledge gaps. It helps us get rid of assumptions. It helps us get rid of assumptions. Let me say this. Assumptions feel like knowledge, but it's not knowledge. Mark Twain, he's a famous philosopher. Mark Twain, you know, if you've ever studied philosophy, you know Mark Twain. Definitely. He's a poet, writer. Mark Twain says, assumption is like counterfeit money. It looks like money until it's time to spend it. You can hold it in your wallet. Everybody says you have money, you've got dough. You can spray it to parties. And everybody's saying, whoa! But when it's time to go shop groceries, and you take assumptions, it does not hold water. You can't live your life on assumptions. The issue is that the human brain does not like complex things. Some of you know, especially some of you, your brain is lazy. You are lazy. Your brain is lazier. That's why you need it for that mathematics. Physics was one of my best subjects. You should like it. But we here, baby. You know, because the human psychology does not like complexities, ambiguities. So what does he do? He takes information from here and here, here and here, and put it together as knowledge. And so what you have is not clarity. What you have is familiarity. It looks like that is it. But it's not clarity. It's not knowledge. It looks like knowledge, but it can ruin you. Like I said, ignorance sometimes is a bliss. At least ignorance knows that it does not know. If there's a bomb that needs 3 days to defuse, some people are very interested in this and say, yeah, action movie. But in every action movie, they always get it right. They pull the right ones. Nonsense. Later, you blame Nollywood. But you watch movies where someone just like this. I mean, in name of Aka. I mean. That's what they did. You're not in. You're wrong. I say, I'm using Nollywood. All of us have our own body. And you have 3 days to defuse a bomb. Would you rather assume, let's say there are three colors, one will blow it up, There are two colors. One will blow it up and one will diffuse it. Detonate it. Abi? Detonate. It's not diffuse. Diffuse? Detonate? Which one is it? Which one do you detonate? Detonate is the applause. Call of game or detonate me. Alright, good. To diffuse it. Would you rather wait till the last minute and learn which one to press? Or you just assume and press anyone? Sometimes I live my life by providence. No, you learn. Assumption can kill. I've told you before, I'll say it again. To be hungry is better than to be poisoned. You eat, say, I will eat 8 wraps of amala, but it's poisoned. Or you fast for 3 days. No food, no water. I say, give me palm oil. Give me palm oil with the poison, Jerry. Hunger is better than poison. Clarity is different from familiarity. You see, the foolish person holds assumptions and thinks it's insight. You must not make that mistake. Ask questions. Feelings are overrated. I said again. I did not say your feelings are not valid. I'm saying feelings, emotions are overrated. We overrate emotions, especially in this part of the world. That's why people cannot sit down and have meaningful conversations. Before you know it, it's all about, start showing emotion now. It's overrated. Your feelings are not admissible in court. You've got to have the facts. So I feel he's the kidnapper. You feel? I feel it in my bones. Your bones are not admissible. Give us a copy of your bones. Let's scan it. Stop living your life based on feelings and assumptions. You need to ask the right questions to bridge the knowledge gap. That sounds like Babayi. You bridge the gap in knowledge. Are you with me? So questions help us to improve understanding. Jesus asked questions. Look at Luke 18. We've read Matthew 16, yeah? Look at Matthew 9. You hear something? Matthew 9, verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, do you believe that I am able to do this? And he said, yes, we believe. So you can see, in the case of healing, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Why is he asking questions? His questions are vital. Matthew 20, verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of and to be baptized of the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, we are able. Sometimes don't be quick to answer. He was talking about his death and he's saying, can you die the kind of death? The cup that is in front of me, can you drink of it? The people that said, yes, we are able, they ran. They've not even crucified him when they ran. At least Peter, you can blame Peter for all you like. But Peter went there, went back to where they arrested him. You have to have that kind of tenacity to be able to deny him. Amen. James and John, the beloved, the one who Jesus loved, the Japa, as they arrested Jesus, they said, They said, we are able to drink of the cup. We can, don't overrate yourself. You see, feelings are overrated. When the robber eats the road, then we know what you're made up of. Then boys are separated from men. Amen. You know, just like man, you, every season. So if we can sign this person and sign this person, we'll go past us now. Every season. Then once it's December, it's yours to lose. It's us not to bottle now. We all started on 0 points. Amen. Chelsea fans, failures. Man, you fans, super failures. Tottenham, dead. How did I get here? You are getting to my emotions. How did I get here? No. All of you are saying the same thing. Don't use overrate. Go before the one. Don't be quick to answer questions. Don't be quick to assume you're there. Again, don't forget, questions are part of faith. If you want to know, you want to have faith, you have to know how to ask questions. Because some of the answers you get are going to be important in the day of war. You see, Peter and the disciples, they asked questions. When Jesus gave the parable, Jesus gave the parable. Listen, look up. Jesus gave the parable and did not give the interpretation. So he left the audience with questions. They start thinking in their hearts, what's going on? I said it before, it's not every question that the pastor answers on the spot. Jesus asked them, said, if Christ is the son of David, how then do David by the Spirit call him Lord? Bible study, just Bible study. Let me come and learn. Jesus turned everything around. Upside down. He said, Christ, whose son is he? They said, son of David. He said, you are right. He said, word, Lawa, word. So if he's the son of David, how then is David calling him Lord? Bible says, from that day, they did not ask him any question. Jesus Christ. Is anyone among you without sin? Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. And everybody started walking away. So there are questions he leaves the audience with. But he observed Peter and the disciples. They saw that he did not answer the parable. So they went. They said, great parable, master. Say, yes, thank you. Say, what does it even mean? They would like to know. They don't know. They say, you don't know. It's not like that. It's not like we don't know, but the people we like to know. I remember Boshola asked me a question some time ago. It was when the first year we started church. So I taught on a Sunday. What's it teaching about? Spiritual growth. Growing spiritually. So Boshola came and said, Pastor, great teaching. I said, yeah. He said, I feel like some people don't understand. I said, some people are you. He said, me. You know, but sometimes you have to learn to ask questions. The onus, of course, is on the pastor to make it as simple as possible. But you can't crack it. Sometimes you can't crack it enough to everyone's level. Your growth is personal. You have to ask questions. In yourselves, ask questions. In your unit, ask questions. Don't assume. You know, someone in this church came to me and said, I thought nobody's allowed to get married until they are 27. I said, when did you hear that? Where? Who told you? I was furious. I was fuming. The individual had told the family members that in our church, pastor said that nobody's getting married until 27, 28. So, as your mother is greeting me, in her mind, saying, when the loofun won't become 28. I never said that. I never said anything remotely to that. I remember on campus, someone even accused me, said, he's against marriage. He never wants us to get married. Why? Because I say you don't have a boyfriend. Because I say you don't go to boys' hostel. You want to go and do follow-up in a boy's room. Fine, there were other fellowships that were doing it. I said, no. Any follow-up that you not follow by 7 p.m., in class area or in the field. At least the fields are white. We will see everybody. Any follow-up is you they are not following. I am in the boys' hostel. I know what they say. You guys know, you know what I'm talking about. When the conversation starts, you begin to shake head for some sisters. So I say, not on my watch. And in that vein, they started saying a lot of things about me. I am anti-love. Me loving. Say, I'm anti-love. I've told you before, your emotions are overrated. Your feelings are overrated. I'm not saying emotions, I've told you before, emotions are part of life. Jesus wept. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Amen? Luke 10, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Luke, John 11, Jesus wept. Two extremes. It shows you emotions are part of it. Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus wept. John 11 was about Lazarus. It's normal. But you don't overrate your feelings. About fact, like I said, your feelings are not admissible in court. It looks like fact, but it's counterfeit money. Until it's time to spend it, you don't know you're holding a counterfeit. Let's ask the right questions. Don't assume. Don't put different scenarios together in your head and say, this is what pastor is saying. Someone even said that in Glorious House Church, we don't travel out. What kind of nonsense statement is that one? That is still your passport. That is it. How would you say that? So thank you, pastor. That's all I need. I will clip this on YouTube. I never said that. I never said travel out. I never said don't travel out. It's not in my purview, except you bring it to my table. Of course, in my purview, as your pastor, to counsel you, so that you don't get the answer. That's shouting depression. Amen. But don't assume. Don't say what I did not say. Rather, ask questions. Excuse me, pastor. is it right for a lady to have feelings for another lady? And I will ask, what kind of feelings? Need to ask questions. Will you face LGBTQ? Don't, yeah, everybody's laughing. These are genuine, legit questions in the heart of believers. It's the truth. Guys having feelings for guys. Don't have feelings for me. Sure. Like me, love me. Amen. As your pastor, I love you too. I say it every service. Love you. Amen. But when you start having feelings, explain the feelings. We need to know. But ask questions. Don't just say, on the judgment day, we will know. You will not need it. Everybody has asked that question on earth. You want to be asking your own when we don't need it again? What do you want to use it to do? How do I help my spiritual growth? It appears like every time I peak, I fall. Ask questions. Don't just assume. Maybe that's how it is. That's not how it is. Ask questions. Amen. So tonight, I want to answer questions. I have a few minutes. If you have any question, so far. It's practical now. Oh, you don't know that you act on the word. How else do you act on the teaching about questions than asking questions? So you have questions. Don't write in paper. Not reading from paper. If you are not bold enough to ask questions, now except, I understand. I write it in paper. I understand. Here we go. Like that one I said, that boy, it's not be good for Gray White to be asking. I say, the man will bother that joy. But let me say this. If you judge people often, I think you need to take a good look at the mirror. It's often a reflection of yourself. Amen? Often a reflection of yourself. One of the things I learned, I can't say early in life because I'm still in my earlier life, but one of the things I have learned in my few days on earth is our journeys are different. I say this way, our backgrounds too are different. I knew one guy in school then who says he's broke when he had 80K, 70K. If you know what year I'm talking about. Talking about, this is 2025, so talking about 2012. 13 years ago, man is saying 70K is broke. I know, I'm serious. He said, 70,000 naira. Minimum wage was 19.8. If you don't know, before 33,000, it was 19.8. You don't know this kind of people that, if he doesn't come to class, lecturer knows that he's not in class. He's in Spain. Marabella. One of your colleagues in Marabella. All of you are here, failing. And you still get the A. And you that you came to class 6 a.m. I think we're in E for excellence. Those kind of, but if I had 10,000 naira, I would feel on top of the world. Our backgrounds were different. Some people grew up with love at home. Some, no love at home. They didn't choose that. You get what I'm saying? So you can't judge people. Learn to mind your business as a believer. And also learn to be bold. For example, be bold to ask questions. Personally, I don't see a reason why you are shy to hold the mic in your local church. This is not a conference of the body of Christ. Of course, we are members in particular of the body of Christ. But this is not a conference of different churches and different places. It's not your estate community meeting. It's not your alumni of your secondary school or your university. This is God's church. This is God. Let anyone who wants to judge you, judge you. Amen. My audience is Christ. My business is with Christ and my pastor. Say what you want to say. It's not incantation, no. I'm saying whatever you say behind my back, it's behind my back. It's behind me. That's the reason why it's behind. Amen. It's always behind. Gossipers are always behind. Backbiters are always at the back. Learn to ask questions. That's where we are, right? So let me summarize what we've said. So we said, Jesus asked a question. We started with that. Matthew 16:13. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So we said, Jesus himself tells you who he is, the Son of Man, which is a codified language. Genesis, the words of the prophet, the promises of the scriptures, and he proclaims that on the spot. I am the Son of Man. Who do men say that? I am the Son of Man. I am. So we said, even though then he said, some say you're John, Elijah, Jeremiah. So we said, the word cannot tell you who Jesus is. Jesus tells you who Jesus is. Right? You can rely on media, on historical books. Paul will tell Timothy, you have treated it as holy, the holy scriptures. Agios Graphe. Remember? Agios Graphe, that the prophet, series 1 and 2. That is, this book, I treat it as the one for salvation through faith in Christ. There were other books, philosophers, historical books, antiques, autobiographies, biographies of great men, events and all of that. But Timothy counted the Bible as holy, as separated for salvation through faith in Christ. Is it making sense? That's the way you must treat the Word of God. Don't rely on extra biblical sources to tell you who Jesus is. Don't rely on bloggers to tell you who Jesus is. He tells you who he is. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They say, who do you say that I am? So we said, questions are part of our growth. Questions are part of spiritual growth. You must learn to ask the right questions. You must learn to also learn to answer questions. Amen? You must learn to answer questions and learn to ask the right questions. We said, doubt and uncertainty is not the opposite of faith, right? Remember? Come on. He said, doubt and uncertainty is not the opposite of faith. In fact, it's all that the other way around. Certainty is the opposite of faith. If I'm certain, I don't need to have faith. If I have all the proof ready, there's no need for faith. I gave you illustrations and instances and examples on that. So we said questions remove assumptions. They bridge knowledge gap and they help us to not live our lives on feelings and assumptions, and so that we don't diffuse, so that we don't detonate. Is that what you, that's what you guys, is that detonate or diffuse now, which one? So that we don't detonate a bomb. Huh? We must not live on assumptions so that we don't detonate a bomb. Thank you. Alright. So detonate now. Questions. Anyone questions? Anyone? One, two, three. Cameraman, you now put your hand down. So it doesn't look like you. One, two, three. Is that all? I'll just take that. Four. Any other person? I count 1 to 10. Make up your mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 5, 9, 10. How many of you want to write down? So even if you that raised your hand before, they all of you write. I'll give you 5 minutes. Sister E, collect for me. No, I'll give you a minute to ask your question. Your question is longer than a minute. It's not for this meeting. Don't worry, pray for me. We pray for the ones in the field. Ask any question. Don't put your name on. Please. Give me the door. You are just in all your ways. There is no one like you. No one like you. And all of these things. No question. They give me up. That means I'm not expecting anybody to come and meet me in the next 3 weeks. I have a question, sir. Be real. I am overwhelmed that you call me son. And I look into your holiness as I gaze into your loveliness. Anything, or anything. You can ask me about anything. The one I cannot answer, I'll tell you, I don't have an answer now. Yeah, you cannot beat me if I say I don't have an answer. In the light of you. What shall I call you? Call me. I'll give you an answer. I have found the joy of reaching your heart. And my will becomes and draw your love. You see, take off, you know. Don't answer me that question. And all things that surround, take it please, become shadows in the light of you. I worship you. Ooh, I worship you. I'm not taking questions next week. So all the questions I'm taking them today, the ones we don't finish today, we answer it next week. So I know some people have their mind, I'll ask my own next week. God sees my heart. I'm not taking any question next week. Nobody will tell me what I go do. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. You're the reason I live. I think we're done. Okay. And I worship you. Pastor, who should I marry? Me. I worship you. Did you drop your own too? Okay. Disciples that seem to be growing spiritually now leaves, as in relocates, or is our place is demolished. What can I do? I've been praying and still praying about it. Your disciples, if someone you're discipling relocates somewhere else, the job is to find out where. Apart from praying for them, you can't pray for them to stay around you forever. Humans are nomadic in nature. Humans will always move. Amen. You can't stop. Like I said, someone said we don't travel out in this church. What kind of statement is that? I've traveled myself, and I expect you, at one time or the other, to travel. Some will travel to stay back. Some will travel and come back. It's life. Come on. I said on Sunday, soldier go, soldier come. The barrack will never be empty. Amen. Never. So if your disciple relocates or the house is demolished, is it that demolished part? I'm interested in it. The emotions might be and someone that doesn't have a house, you want to disciple them. The first thing is to first ask if you are settled now. Amen. And if it's relocated to somewhere, then you have to give up. Amen. If your house is not there, there's nothing you can do. Pray for them to continue the light and counsel them to find a church around them. Amen. And if possible, speak to someone there and explain what we have been doing. I hope they understand. Amen. As I say, so we have been praying in tongues, and we have been literally looking at the Isle of Prophets. Yeah. So don't worry. I'll take you to cinema, right? No, the Isle of Prophets. It's a movie. It's not a movie. So of course, you just find a way of ensuring that there's continuity. Is that clear? The goal is not that, but if God wills, I would like to disciple people forever. Amen. There's beauty in it. In saying we've been together for 70 years. How about that? Some people don't like that. Just like moving. It's okay. Do we ask questions when God gives us an instruction? I observe that it's easier to obey instructions when we know why. But Abraham didn't ask questions when God gave him instructions. You sure Abraham did not ask questions? Ah. He asked though. Wallahi. Abraham asked. Do we ask questions and give us an instruction? Well, most questions like this do not have an hard and fast truth to them. The answers are not set in stone. That's what I mean. I mean, you can't say this is the answer. The situations are different. Amen. When God gives you an instruction, just obey. Right. Now, in the bit of obedience, do I ask questions? Sometimes you have to ask questions. God told Mary, you will give birth to a child. Mary said, wait. I believe in miracles, but I don't have a husband. Who will give me belly? And then Jesus said, don't worry. The Holy Ghost is going to do this. So she asked a question, and she was not walking in doubt. It was not faithlessness. But she asked the question. Is it making sense? Uh-huh. So there are a series of questions that sometimes you're just seeking clarity. I understand when you say, it's easy to obey when we know why. But sometimes, even when you don't know why, I've told you before, the move of the Spirit, we said in last year's believers meeting, sometimes goes before you. Your brain sometimes might not catch up with what God is doing now. I sang in tongues for years before I could teach singing in tongues. Before I even knew what singing in tongues was, I was already singing in tongues. Amen. I was already giving people a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of knowledge that was destroying people's lives. So imagine as you are sitting here and I just called someone's name and I said, yesterday you stole. That was what I was doing with word of knowledge. And the devil was proud of it. He said, well, no, we discouraged the next believer. I was literally until someone called me, Ignace Asolani, and said, no, that's not how you, you use the gifts of the Spirit. You don't just expose people. You call them secret and you call your teachers to help. In my mind, I said, call teachers. Say teachers, Lorraine, run. In my mind, you know better now. So imagine how many years it took me to catch up on this, what God was actually doing through me. It took me years to catch up on. So sometimes instructions are like that. God says, don't go. God told Paul, don't go and preach. How do you explain that? You can't question your way into that one. You have to first obey and calm down. Your mind will catch up with it later. Sometimes it takes years, 4 years, 5 years, and say, oh, this was what God was doing, leading me to this place. I've met myself in strange places before, and I was wondering, why am I stuck here? I mean, literal, physical, why am I stuck in this place and all that? And then years later, I remember, oh, that was where I met this person. And that was where I heard this name for the first time. And that was why this person gave me this sermon. Look at that. 2 years, but sometimes you just obey. Amen. Obedience is better than asking questions. But when the opportunity arises to ask questions, do not hesitate to ask. God is always in the business of answering your questions. And if he keeps quiet, just obey. I like the fact that you understand it as instructions. All these questions now, I will treat them again properly in different teachings. Or I recommend teachings. I think I've taught this before. Asking questions on the leading of the Spirit. In the leading of the Spirit. But please let me fish it out. There's a particular leading of the Spirit where we're talking about questions. This Mary analogy. This Mary example, I have taught it before. It's either healing or it's in the leading of the Spirit. There's a leadership program I want to apply for. Apply now. Teach me necessary soft skills for the job market. Please apply this. Where I have a problem is, I'm confused is on that. Abba, you're not confused. Amen? Everybody say, I'm not confused. I don't want the only the person to say it. But if you are the person, you should be saying it very well. Say, I'm not confused. Well, it's a 2 weeks boot camp program. Is it right to apply for it? Apply 2 weeks. Apply. Oh, okay, you'll be missing church, so it's like 2 weeks straight. Just talk to your cell leader. Understand? Amen. Talk to your cell leader. What if you go for NYC camp? What will we do? We say you should come and do camp here. I beg you, job market. Please. You need job. A disciple, how do I help a disciple wants to grow? But the person is like off and on. And he wants to grow. I've given you the answer. I've always told you before, the job of discipleship is the job of lives. You are fighting for lives. See that way and you win. For everybody God gives you, the devil also wants to take. That's how important souls are. Both God and the devil are after souls. And even after your soul too. That's how important souls are. So when you see that I teach and go home. No, it's not just teach and go home. As you're teaching, the devil also is arranging his own follow up. So you see it that way and then you conquer. Don't underestimate strongholds. Don't underestimate the devil. Sometimes we underestimate the devil and overrate ourselves. Don't do that. Treat every discipleship like war. Because it is. Treat it like a battle to be won. Until the person is also fighting with you. I mean, on your side. That's when you have won. Amen? And even at that, we keep ourselves alert. Is that clear? So, if the person is off and on, you understand you're at war front. I don't think you should be surprised. Please sign your ministry journey. Do you believe there's anything called spiritual attack? Yes. They don't attack me many times now. There's spiritual attack. I can brief you on that one later. What is our weapons? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. We have a teaching like that. The weapons of our warfare. Every teaching on prayer, listen to them. I would not believe in spiritual attack. In my journey, this is my small journey. We're talking about one when? Yeah, last week. Yeah, there's always an attack, like almost every other week. You can't be teaching God's word ferociously. Sometimes we just make boys say, the dark, listen to me. You think they are not listening? They are listening, though. The dark will listen to you and they do what the dark do. Attack. you are the one that will also put on the whole arm of God. Why does in English, as I wanted to say, like, why do some evil occurrences happen? Not why does. To believers, some say it's lack of spirituality or maybe prayerlessness. But what exactly causes evil occurrences to believers? Different things. You live in a world of chaos. It's not really lack of spirituality, whether you lack spirituality or not. There's nobody seated here that has not experienced one form of evil or not, or one form of, there's nobody here. It's life, isn't it? But why does it happen? Can't answer that question. You too, why does it happen? But what we can do is to redeem the days. Amen. And redeem the time. Paul says we can redeem time with the gift of the Spirit. Prayer. Amen. That's what you can do. Rather than ask, why does it happen? I would rather shield myself from the ones that can be shielded. Amen. If you know why it happens, does that stop it from happening? That's the real question. Like I said, sometimes let your knowledge be practical. If I know why it happens, okay. What do I do with why it happens? How about when it happens? I'm not a victim of it. But like I said, you can't, because evil has happened. Last month, I was with a dear friend, and we're talking about a missionary, a dear missionary who passed on. He went to preach, and he had an accident on his way back. And he died. So what do you want to say? My God is not good. Nah. He's good. Amen. You were there. You were there when we were talking about it. And I think someone told him about it. About the accident. And he said, no, I'll still go. You were there when we were talking about it. Now, why are you looking at me? He was literally told by two people that if you go for that trip, you're going to have an accident and you're going to die. And he packed his bag. He said, I'll still go to preach. He said, if I die, I die. And he died. He said, if one asks this question, no, it's part of it. Amen. Death is not the end. If a believer is scared of death, I don't know. It's not the end. Hallelujah. We will die and we'll see ourselves again. It's not the end of the world. Hallelujah. I don't understand. It's not the end of the world. That's just it. Hallelujah. Did Abraham not see Lazarus again? Did they not see Jesus after the resurrection? And if you want to see him today, you can see him. It's not the end. We miss people when they are no longer with us physically. It's normal. You miss them. You long for them. Sometimes you just want to talk to them again. Sometimes you just listen to voice notes over and over again. But we'll see again. Hallelujah. Good evening, sir. Concerning fasting, is it right to take water while fasting? Some people say there's dry fasting and there's wet fasting. Where you take water? Well, there's no direct answer to that. In this church, we don't take water. If you have a medical condition, you don't have ulcer and all of that. I've seen people who claimed ulcer because of fast. Same with the law, so why will you? I can't call him friend, an acquaintance. He puts crutches in his car so that when police stop him. But David, you know him now. He puts crutches in his car. He's not a member of our church. When police stop him, you know, say, I cannot walk. There are funny people like that. Some say, okay, nice scope. So I asked him, I said, what of a day where you actually cannot walk? I don't understand. It's an expensive joke. I don't think you claim us. If you can't take a fast till 6 o'clock and you feel water is what can help you, or if you don't take water, we might miss you. Take water, Biko. In fact, take you got. It's not that deep. Amen. Amen. It's not that deep. That's what I want to hear. That's the answer I want to hear. Don't go and tell your cell leader it's not that deep. Pastor has already said it's not that deep. As Pastor said, and I quote, what I'm saying is, but when you have the opportunity to actually subject your body to the training of the Spirit, to self-control, always do. Is that clear? The importance of fasting is not seeing the day where you're hungry. I just dropped a line. What exactly is fornication? We all know. I'm not going to lie. Can a virgin fornicate? Yes. So it starts from the mind, then the body. If you come and meet me. What is the best Bible verse to teach concerning prayer? Go and listen to. We have a lot of teachings on prayer. I'll still look at the questions again. And I'll go home with them, and then we'll answer properly. Is that clear? I'll answer fornication very well. Very well. We'll get there. Amen. And don't judge yourself yet. See, God is not judging you. That's the beautiful thing. Don't call yourself done. Don't call yourself dirty. The one who paid with his blood is not saying that. Whenever you see accusations in your mind, of course, it is the renewed human spirit, born again, fighting against the lust, fighting against the dark. Is that clear? And also, it might be the devil putting things in your head to say this and that. Of course, my beloved children, do not fornicate. It's not, Paul will say, and I will say it again, I'm saying it like Paul said, if you feel sexual urges so much and it's so strong, you've got to tame it in fasting. Amen? If you're not of marriageable age is subjective in this day and age. If you, my subjective starts from 19. My subjective starts from 19. I don't say you should go and marry at 19. That would be extreme. If you ask me, I'll say no. But there are situations where I've actually asked a 20-year-old, go get married. It was necessary. Amen? For different reasons. It was medical, it was different reasons. If you feel it's always strong on you, get help. There's help for it. Because marriage is not going to cure it. Amen. Amen. If you think that getting married solves the issue of sexual commitment, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
You know. My wedding is a day. It doesn't really change people. People are who they are. Hallelujah. Except they really change. So again, if it's always heavy on you, come see me. We'll find help. But with prayer, prayer is probably not really one of the major ways we deal with it. There are other ways. Amen. There are other ways. There are ways that are adjunct with prayer. Amen. That's what I want to say. Like prayer and some other things. And I can advise you to actually get married. It's not that deep. You don't have to do party. Just go to court. Me, I will not be there. No, I'm just letting you know. Yeah, I will not be there. Bro Pam will be there with you. Sister Joy will be there with you. Sister Missy will be there with you. Your cell leader, be sure your cell leader will be there. Amen. Go to court. Get married. Do whatever you want to do in the confines of marriage. Amen. At least that helps your heart. Right? But do not fornicate. Go and listen to that teaching again. Protect the oil. Maybe you didn't understand what I said. Like I said, sometimes things, information can come before you even understand. Go and listen to protect the oil again. When the devil wants to grab a man, one of the open doors is sexual lust. Many have suffered terminal illnesses because they opened that door. I'm not making anything spooky, really. I don't overrate what the devil is doing as much as I don't underrate him too. Amen. He's a good fighter, but he always loses. He fights well, but he loses every time. Amen. And the end, I'm reminding him again. At the end of the day, he'll lose again. Hallelujah. And I'll win again. Because Christ is my victory. You know, so, but don't open the door. Don't open the door to sexual lust. As for younger people like you and I, because we're all young, it's normal. If you don't have desires, you have to go and check yourself. Your hormonal levels might be low. There might be things. Don't just say I'm spirit cocoa. But go and check. Amen. Don't go and check now. Go and also. You are not married. You are not applying to get married. Don't go and check hormonal levels. Kilo kwen kwen hormonal levels. Go and get money and serve the Lord. You know, but what I'm saying is, if you need help, always, always come to me. My doors are open. I'm always available. Talk to me. We'll figure it out. God has placed us in families such as this so that we can be answers to each other. Is that clear? So that you can receive help. Don't shut your mouth. Huh? Don't shut your mouth. When facing a giant, don't shut your mouth. David kept talking. Everybody has to hear him. Both God, Israel, Goliath, everybody heard him. You have to talk. You don't run at a giant with your mouth closed. Hallelujah. Talk to your pastor. You know, if you feel, talk to your cell leader. Is that clear? Talk to your PCF. Pastor, it is well with you. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for this ones, myself too, that you give us the wisdom to navigate life. That we walk in your purpose and your plan. That the dark is behind us. And there is no shadow on our part. That we serve you, Lord, all the days of our lives. No sicknesses in our bodies. And there's victory for our souls. Amen.